Windows 8 has been launched, and we had a phenomenal, I really can use that word, phenomenal response in Belgium from companies, from developers, from big apps to small apps. We have more than 100 apps in the Belgian store today. And this session is going to cover some of the learnings that we had pushing and submitting those applications to the Windows Store, so that you can take these learnings, take this session, go through it before you submit your own application to the store, so that you can, well, really ace that certification in a breeze. That's the objective of today's session. So the agenda is really going around what we learned on the registration itself, the Windows Store registration, what do you need to prepare, what do you need, and some of the tips on how you can be successful there. And the second big part is around app certification. So what do you need in your app? Make sure you verify that you have all the requirements, go through certification, and then we're going to highlight the elements, the things that we encountered the most. And you will see some of them are really basic or really easy stuff to implement if you know it upfront. So we really want to make sure that you don't lose time by not mentioning something in a test note or forgetting something in the app itself or not checking something. So we hope this session is really going to allow you to pass certification much easier. Then we will end the session also with some support options. So how do you escalate? What are your options there? And also learnings on how we approach that with our Belgian developers. Now, because we have so many nice Windows 8 applications in the store, I want to give a big congratulations to the Belgian developers, to the Belgian teams. I could not fit everything on one slide, and I have several screens. I tried to do semantic zoom, but even then you couldn't see the logos all in one screen, so I just took a few pictures from my tablet. This is just a very small glimpse at some of the applications that have been released today or last week for Windows 8. So it's a great result. Congratulations and big thanks to all of you that have joined the Windows 8 launch. All right, so now moving into registration on the Windows Store. So we'll now go through the steps and through the preparation steps that you need to take in order to go through registration in really easy steps and not have pending verification or authorization. So let's try to approach this to start with what you need upfront. So what do you really need to go into the store portal? So the development portal is on this AppDev URL. You can register for free if you have an MSDN subscription that is not part of the partner SKU, or if you have BizSpark or DreamSpark. That gives you a token. With that token, you can register for free for a year in the Windows Store. Now, you have two types of registration. Either you're going to register as an individual, so if you're a private developer, you register as an individual, or if you are part of a company or you're publishing an app for a company, make sure that they choose company as a registration. It's important because in that way, the account is not linked to a person, but rather to a company. Now, the requirements are different. For an individual, it's actually pretty straightforward and easy. For a company, you do require some more documentation to prove that you are actually part of that company, that the company exists, and so forth. So let's take a look. For an individual, you need to make sure you have a Microsoft account, which has been is formerly known as a Windows Live ID. I do recommend you create a new one for yourself that you might just take an example if in a few years you would simply go from a startup, from a single individual developer, you would go to an actual company. If the Live ID, if the Microsoft account is on your name, well, maybe it's something you don't want to share. So if you take a new unique live ID that is linked to a specific project or a specific name, then you can just use that in a company and even share that with other people. So I think it's important to take a live ID that is unique to this account. You need a credit card. You also need a credit card, even if you don't have a, even if you have a token. This is just because you need to verify that you are really a person behind it, and you will need to access your credit card statement. You also need an alternative email address so that they can contact you in case this live ID does not work. And then if you are a company, again, the live ID or the Microsoft account, as it is called now, is important that you create a new one for the company and don't use a personal one. You can, but it's not recommended, because if that person leaves the company, maybe that's not really what you want. And especially if you're doing paid apps and you're earning money, probably that's something that needs to go into a general account that other people can access as well. Again, you need a credit card. You will need a credit card statement for verification and if you need to pay. Also very important, you need a email address of the approver of the account. So the person that is legally able to approve an account, because that person will be contacted by GeoTrust, which will validate the company. You also need to make sure, it's very important, that you use the official company name as your company has been registered officially. So make sure that the documentation of the company, that is the name you use as a company name. Otherwise, GeoTrust, which validates you, will not accept your validation, your account registration, and you will be forced to go through escalations, and it just takes sometimes weeks to have it really solved. So before you start, please go through these steps and prepare yourself. Now, once you have gone through registration and you have filled in the information, the basic information, what you need to start doing is check the status of your account. Once you are in the portal and you are on the dashboard, go to the profile tab or the profile link and go through the following elements. First of all, the developer info. If you are set to pending, which is the standard when you just register, this means your account as a company has not yet been verified by GeoTrust, or Symantec is also doing validation, it's the same company. So you will get an email from GeoTrust, or in other words, the approver will get an email from GeoTrust, and as long as that is not approved and sent to Microsoft for validation or for integration into the system, you will stay on pending. As long as you are pending, your application cannot be certified on the store. Very important step. The number two is the payout accounts or your bank data. If you do want to have a paid app, if you want to do in-app purchase or anything that uses the commerce platform from the store, then you need a valid payout account entered and validated. So again, your application will not publish or certify as long as you don't have it. For a free account, you do not need that. So you can keep that on pending as long as you don't have any in-app purchases or paid apps. The number three here on the screen is a tax profile. Again, you will need to go through the tax profile and have it valid before you can have any paid apps in the store, before they go through registration, through certification. So make sure that you go through this before you expect your application to be certified. Now let's go a bit deeper in some of these aspects. So when you fill in the information, you register in the store, you will have the approver email address I mentioned and the name of the approver. So what is important there is that person will be receiving the mail from GeoTrust or Symantec with the steps or the actions that you need to take in order to have your account validated as a third party, validation by Symantec or GeoTrust. So you need to make sure that that email is not into the junk folder of that person, also very important, not on this slide, but important to note, do not use any free email account address as the approver email. So if you use Hotmail or Gmail or any of those type of free emails, GeoTrust does not accept that. So that will cancel or will make your developer registration pending as well. So again, prepare that well and use a company address. Then if you need help on which documents you need to supply to GeoTrust, you have this link and you will find the types of documents. Depending on the company, you need some official documents to prove that the company exists, and that's the official name. Now, company validation can take up to 10 days, depending on what you need to send to them. And I'll also inform you, I'll give you some details on how to escalate and to request an expedited handling of your validation, which is possible. We have been known to do it in about 24 hours, so that's good news when you really try to escalate. So this is for the identity validation, a third party by GeoTrust or Scimantic. Now, there is also a step, and that is important to companies and to individual developers that do registration. So you saw the profile tab I showed you in the screenshot before. You also have something called subscription. And so when you register, there will be an amount deducted from your credit card, which is a few dollars or a few euros. And it's always a certain cents behind it, so it's like $3.20 or $1.17 or something. So make sure you have access to your credit card statement, and as long as your status in this screen is not set to verified, again, your application will not go through certification. So you need the online statement or the wait for the statement of your credit card, and then enter that value in this screen. You'll have a button to activate that. Once you have that, as an individual, this is all the verification you need. You can submit your app. As a company, again, you will have the step of the third-party validation as well. So for paid apps, again, you need payout and a tax profile. And for a payout account, it's a bank account. You need your Swift account number, and all of that is pretty straightforward. You know, most Belgian folks have their IBAN number and their BIC number for the bank. So all those numbers, just have them handy, the address of the bank as well. And they also, in the registration form itself, you'll have some links to go search for the right name and ID of your bank in case you don't have it. Now, for the tax profile, we've had some interesting learnings. It's a lengthy process, so it's very important that you have the right documentation at the right time up front. Now, let's go through some of the steps that we have had in the last few months in having a valid tax profile. Now, this is interesting both for individual and for companies. We're taking the example of a company that doesn't have any subsidiary in the US, so which is applicable to most of you that are registering. So what are the important steps there? First of all, make sure you read this blog post that contains some step-by-step guidance on how to register for international developers. So you'll need to fill in an online W-8 form for the UX tax system, and then you need to fill in the right fields. Now make sure you read this blog post first, and then when you go through the steps over the certification, you make sure, again, you read every step you need to take. Now, there's a few tips that I want to give you here. So depending if you register as an individual or a company, you'll probably be checking other boxes. But make sure, for example, that you don't check the PO box if you don't have a PO, because if you have a mismatch there, the tax profile will be invalid. So do make sure that you fill this in very detailedly. As a company, it's interesting, it's important to note that as a company, if you're registering, in this case, as a screenshot for Germany, because I took the screenshot from the blog post and they use Germany as an example. Now, of course, Belgium is in the same type of, in the same situation. Do note that if you're a company, so non-individual, and you check the field A, which you will have to do to highlight that you're a resident, you choose Belgium, and then the other fields you will have a chance to fill them in. The blog post is pretty good, but there's one item missing. You actually also need to check setting 9.9c if you're checking 9a. This is something we learned the hard way, so make sure you take this into account. And then you fill in the article number in the drop downs for item number 10. What we also noticed, so in the case of an individual, it's pretty straightforward because you're signing in your own name. In case you're signing for a company, make sure that you have your financial responsible, your CFO, for example, sign this. If you sign it in behalf of someone else, you will be required to submit additional documentation to prove that you're actually able to sign in this person's name or in behalf of someone else. So what we recommend is to have a person that can be the official signatory here and not be the person that registered or not be the account that registered. So use the name and the email of your CFO if possible. So in the drop down that you see on the in this screenshot on the right, choose the CFO and have that person sign electronically, and you will save a lot of time. If you don't, you will be required to submit some additional documentation. So once you are in this screen, which is step number 2 in the tax profile, something like that, you submit this information. And when you submit this information, you're signing in behalf of someone else. So you just fill in the details. You will receive the choice to so signing in your own name or in the name of the CFO. Well, so the CFO can be signing, or you are signing in behalf of someone else. You will receive a specific code to validate this, and you will receive that by email, the right name. And then you submit this form. It's the last button on the screen. When you submit it, there will be a PDF file that is generated. Now, in the case I'm signing in behalf of someone else, do note this screen and make sure you read what is on that last step, because depending on who is signing, you might need to take additional steps, and then you need to read the steps that you are required to take in order to have a valid tax profile. So depending if CFO signs or someone else, you might need to change this here. And then you can also save the document in the PDF file that is generated there and have that for your own records. So these are just a few tips that will really help you to pass the registration, the account registration in the Windows Store in a much smoother way. So hopefully this is helpful for you, and go through it before going through the registration and not after. Now, if you do run into issues and your stays in pending, or you don't go through registration of the account and validation as expected, you have two types of support. So you have GeoTrust support for anything that is related to your developer identity. Remember, in the dashboard screen, developer identity. And you can we recommend that you go through chat, because so you do need your order number from GeoTrust for that. But it's a good way of escalating and making sure that the information, they got all the information they need. And you can also use this escalation to request an expedited procedure, so that they don't take 10 days, but maybe take 2 days or 24 hours in validating your account. Then once it comes back from GeoTrust, it goes to Microsoft, and Microsoft receives the confirmation, and then they will activate and set your account identity, developer identity in other words, set it to validated. Now, if again there you have some issue, there's also support from Microsoft. So this aka.ms/store support. If you use this URL, you have the choices of going through forum, so the community forum, or you will also have more at the bottom of that page, you will find the link for escalating store support. And then there you have the option, you choose the right support option you need in a drop-down, and then you'll have chat or phone support. Do note, chat and phone support is only at some working hours in the Pacific time. So you might need, for Belgium, you might need to chat around the afternoon, sometime in the afternoon. And this is really helpful if you need to escalate something or to request more details or have an expedited handling as well. It did happen to work in some cases by just making sure that they check your status and they put some pressure on it. So now that we saw the most important learnings and tips for store registration itself, let's go through what happened with store certification. In this case, we mean the certification of apps. So the certification of apps is, again, if you listen through this webcast, you will save time because you will probably not do some basic mistakes and forget to fill in something and then fill certification. So before submitting your application, when you have tested your application, the application should always be tested through the Windows App Certification Kit. This App Cert Kit is installed with the SDK, and we recommend that you build a version of your application in release mode and then test it out, and then have the certification toolkit run. When you run it, it's also a good idea to run it on a clean machine that doesn't have a lot of versions on it, of the app and on all versions of Visual Studio. Make sure that you leave the app running and try at least to test it on two machines, especially if you are supporting ARM-based devices, so for Windows RT. Try also to test it on a low and computer so that you know the application will at least respond correctly. The toolkit, the WAC, the Windows Acceptance Certification Kit, this test is also going to run as a first step when you publish your application in any case. So the more you test it before, the less problems you will have with that once it is uploaded to the store. Now, what have we learned around the certification test? There's a few interesting learnings, and I wanted to highlight two of them here. One of them is if you're doing background audio, do note that when you're doing background audio, which allows your application to not go into suspend mode, which is a specific capability you need to activate in the project, there is one important note. You will fail your acceptance test if you leave the autoplay of your media element to true. So make sure you don't put it to true by default, and then have the application through this through the buttons and the interaction on the screen, have that activate the autoplay if needed, or simply add the play and pause. But make sure that you don't put autoplay to true. Another thing we noticed is some people are getting, sometimes people are getting some Direct3D issues in the certification response. And it normally pertains to or mentions something about the suspend or the resume of your application not working correctly. Now, Direct3D, we had this in a specific C# app, which is very strange result. So, what we found out is that the error that we were seeing, the failure that we were seeing, was actually caused by a bug in our resume code. So resume was causing an exception, and this was actually coming forward as a Direct3D issue. So anything that is related to issues with resume and suspend, make sure you don't have any problems with your application resuming in time. Also, in the store, your application needs to suspend in less than 2 seconds. Again, unless your application uses background audio, which is one of those that can still not go into suspend mode. Again, test that enough before you submit your application, because the test will do it automatically, but the test team will also launch the Windows Acceptance kit manually afterwards. So they will go through it anyway. So make sure you test this on one more than one machine in any case. Some other things that we noticed is, for example, when you're doing applications in a certain language, and specifically in Belgium, we do have applications in English, of course, and by default, your application will be set to English if you don't change anything. So what we recommend is, if you're having one or more languages, for example, you're doing two languages, make sure that you go into the settings of the application in the app manifest and go into the XML code version of that. So you open the app manifest in the XML editor and then go through the resources section. And by default, you will have some X-Generate, which depending on the version of your Visual Studio will be set to English by default, or depending on resources that you're using in the application, it might switch to another language. But if you're not using specific resources in multilingual applications, then you might very well end up with English as your language. Now, when you upload your package to the store, English will be detected as your language, but if your application is actually not in English, this will fail certification. So make sure you set the language or languages of your of your application in the resources section of your app manifest. In this example here, I have Dutch as a language, not as a culture with a country, but just as a language, as a default. And I have a second language that I'm supporting, and it's a culture, it's French Belgium. So I'm supporting Dutch for any country, and I'm supporting specifically French Belgium. And you can add languages, and the first one will be the default one, and then the other ones are just additional languages. Of course, your application needs to support those languages as well, and you need to use localized strings and localized resources for that. So regarding the language requirements, when you go through the store certification requirements, you will see that 6.5 requirement is set to localize the application in all languages that you support. So what are the languages that you support? I'm going back one slide. Specifically, these languages in this resource app manifest will define which languages your application needs to support. What I would also highly recommend is, because specifically in multilingual countries like Belgium, people sometimes speak more than one language, and they might have a default setting in their language settings, in region settings, they might have it in Dutch or in French or in English. They actually would like to see your application in their preferred language. So instead of just automatically switching to their current language, I always suggest that you also add it in your settings, in a new settings pane, in like, for example, settings, and then you have options or preferences, and then let them choose the language they prefer so that you can override the default language. That's more like a recommendation from my end, but it's a highly appreciated one. If you put yourself in the place of your end user, I'm sure they will appreciate and you will see the importance of that. All right, so in the app manifest as well, you have several capabilities. Capabilities will highly influence how your application is certified, what you can do. It will also influence anything related to privacy and to age ratings and to what information you can share and opt-ins and that kind of things. So the first thing I would always suggest is please go through your app manifest capabilities and make sure you uncheck the internet, for example, if you don't have internet connectivity needed, if you don't need to download any service, if it's an all-contained application, uncheck it. So your certification will go much quicker because they don't have to validate what you're doing. You don't have to go through the broker to verify your internet access. So again, depending on what you check here and what you use in your application, make sure it corresponds and don't leave it on just because it's on by default. Regarding the settings again, so the capabilities will influence how you have to set your privacy policy. One of the requirements in the certification is that you need a settings charm entry, as in this screenshot. So you go to settings of your application, you need an entry at the root of your settings pane. You need an entry called privacy policy, or the, in the right language of that app, of course. Make sure you have this entry as a separate entry and not as a content of an about screen or anything else. So make sure you add this. If you use internet, if you use sign in, if you use logins, privacy policy is always required. Now, because privacy policy is sometimes forgotten, it's actually one of the top reasons for failure in certification. It's the people forgetting to add privacy policy, or because they feel it's not really clearly written in the details in the certification requirements. So that is why I'm highly recommended that you use it and that you add it. You can directly link to a website, so you can adapt it later on without having to re-upload the application. You can just click on that privacy policy link. You go to Internet Explorer that will launch, and or your browser that will launch and show the privacy policy. One thing that we did encounter is, for example, they will actually check if the privacy policy is in the language of your application or languages of your application. So make sure that when you click on that link, it corresponds to the right language that the user has selected or the default language, and that it links to a privacy policy. We also encountered a case where we linked to a disclaimer page and not a privacy policy page, and that failed certification, which is really a pity because it's just a small thing and it was just a wrong link used in the application. Also make sure the application, the link that you use there is active when you click on it, and testers are using your application to test and to verify, and your URL would be down, your website would be down at that moment, well, the application will also fail certification. So all things to take into consideration. One thing that is also important, the same privacy policy that's a URL in here also needs to be entered in the store portal. And you have a field called privacy in the store portal. You'll notice this field is not required, but it is actually required for any application that uses internet access. So please always fill it in. Again, you will fail certification if you forget it and you use internet. And the age rating is also going to influence your need for a privacy policy. I have some more details on that later in this deck. So what we also noticed is not specifically around certification, but some tips on how you can make sure the application is certified and used by your users as you have imagined it. Because Windows 8 is still new, we do see that people are not yet used to when should they use app bars and where do they use app bars. So we recommend that people, that you add some getting started or a help section. So have you considered maybe when you first run the application to have a link to a video that shows you how to use the application in like a few seconds? Have you thought about adding a help section in the settings or simply on the screen for the first time they run it, or they can deactivate it next time, something like that? So think about the type of user your application will be mainly used by, and will they automatically know they can go to the options, and think about that for especially in the first months of Windows 8, because it will be new to a lot of people. I'm showing you an example here of an application called Relay. It's an application from France. And what they did is really nice. So they have a help icon in the app bar, and I think they have it in the help settings on the settings pane as well. And when you activate, in the French, it's Comment ça marche, how does this work, how does this app work? They actually show you, in an overlay, they show you how the application can work. So you see that they can use, in the bottom, there's an app bar that you can slide from the bottom. It's just very quickly going to allow people to see how they should use it. So that's an idea. It's a first run experience you could do, or a button that you add, or a message that you add in the beginning, or simply in the about help settings pane, something like that. So highly recommended as well. Another thing is the aspect and the visibility of your app. What we noticed is you have the app icon that appears in the store is one of the fields in your app manifest. And it seems that quite some people forget to add their own icon to it. And then you will see something like the icon that you see at the right, the top right. I just pasted the transparent one there to show you what it actually shows. And the tweet, talk in this person, and in this case, and persona, which are two apps that I just found on my screen, on my screen at a certain moment. The two apps that you see there is actually you almost don't see it, or you don't really see any icon there, and that's simply because they kept the default one, which is a box, just a cross, an X around the box. And the second thing is they did not adapt the background color. And in that case, if you contrast those two, you don't get an icon, which is really a pity and doesn't give a very professional view. Now, you will only notice it when you upload to the store. So make sure you upload your store icon in the app manifest, in the packaging, and in the app manifest general screen. So the other thing you will notice is that when you go to the web version of the Windows Store, you also don't have an icon. Again, really a pity. So make sure you add that icon as well. You add it in the right color. So in the app manifest, you can set the icon itself, the logo, and then the small logo, the white logo. Those are the logo and the white logo are just the tiles. The small logo goes into the store. And then you also have the tab packaging where you also have the store logo. Important in here is the background color that you see rather to the bottom. The background color is going to contrast with the icon. So make sure you choose the right one, the right color, because that's the color you will see in the store as well and in the web store. And an example here, the white that you see in TweetTalk is because they just left it to the general white as a background color, and the same background color will simply appear in the web version of the store. You can really make it contrast with your logo and use the right color, so make sure you change this. It's really a small thing to change before submitting your application. All right, so a set of tips here, privacy, logos, certification, and all that. Now, when you go into the store dashboard and you do app submission, you will have a number of steps, as in this screenshot here. The first one is where you reserve your app name. So make sure you reserve one app name and add additional names in additional languages if you want to. You can add those all in the same screen. And then you will start going through selling details, advanced features that correspond to push notifications that you have to configure, and maybe other live services. The advanced features also define what you're doing in app. Age rating, if you need certain certificates regarding game content, for example, if you're doing any cryptography, you will need to go through each of these screens and save it. Even if you don't change anything, you need to go through it and save so that it can be confirmed that you have really gone through the steps. Once you upload your package, you will go into packages and upload your single package to the store, or have a package per architecture, so ARM, and then x86 and 64-bit and 32-bit, I mean. Once you upload your package, from that moment on, you will have the description pane activate, and it will actually show you a link per language of your package, of your application. So if you have 10 languages, you will need to fill in every page in the description of that language. Make sure you prepare screenshots, and make sure you prepare the name and the description in all those languages. It needs to correspond to the right language, otherwise, again, your application will not go through certification. And then the last step is tester notes, which I will come to later on. For the packaging of your application, you do that through the Visual Studio. If you go to Visual Studio and you have the Store tab, package your application, and then This is the package that you will upload in the packages section here at the almost at the bottom. So a few highlights here from these steps. One of the important things is deciding what your price is of your application. If it's a free application, very well, it's easy. It's just a free application. Otherwise, if it's not a free application, then you will choose a certain price tier that will translate into other currencies with a comparable amount in other countries. But very important here is you can define the price tier itself, paid or not paid, and then a certain price tier. And you can also define the trial period. I'll come back to that in a minute. Now, second important thing here is the regions in which your application will be available. Now, consider adding more regions than just your country, because people will, if you have an application for Belgium, and it's an application in Dutch and French, for example, but typically it's an application that maybe people in the US or people in maybe even China or any country would like to access because they speak Dutch or French or because they're expats. If that is the case and you don't have any geo-blocking issues with your application, we recommend that you put it available in other countries as well. So it doesn't mean you have to support the language of that country. It's simply your application in your own chosen languages being available in more than one country. Also important, if you want to make money with your app, of course, if your reach is higher because you make it available in other countries, you will have a higher potential of selling more, simply put. Now, regarding the trial and paid app, so if you have a paid app, we have an option in the store, either through using an API or simply through using the store portal. The most easy part is to implement a trial period. So what you can do if you have a paid app, for example, have an app and it costs €3.99, it might be quite an amount for some people to just check if they like the app. We also offer the opportunity to have a trial period for your application. For example, you can put it to 1 day or 3 days or 7 days. Then after that moment, the app will simply not open anymore and will redirect people to buy the app in the store. This means your application will be available for the time period that you choose, and then they will have to buy it. But it will give much higher exposure to your app because more people will be testing it, and if they like it, well, I'm sure they will buy it. Now, if you don't have a trial version of your app, then people just simply buy it without being able to try it. So it's a nice offering that you have, and you don't need to do any special code for that. Now, the second option is if you have a trial version and you don't define an expiration date or period, what you can do is integrate the trial API. So as a developer, you integrate the API and you define, for example, let me give you one example of a game. You could do a game that is has an extended trial period, no end date, for example, but you only offer level one for free. People start playing it, they're addicted to the game and they just want to go to level two. Well, in that case, you make the app license expire. If they want to go to level two, you just integrate the API yourself, and the commerce API will kick in and will show the UI so that the user actually buys your application. And then from that moment on, you do need to integrate some of the API calls so that you switch to a full version of your game. That's one example. You can also offer a certain restricted view of your application, or restricted, have some buttons that are not active and that would make the user test part of your application and then feel inclined to buy it. So really useful, and we see in Windows Phone, which is where we have been trying this for longer time and exposing this as an option for longer time, we see that applications do sell about 5 times more if you have a trial. really worth considering. Also in the store portal, you will have an option to define when your application is available for sale. So by default, when your application is going through certification and is certified, you can choose to have it active, have it visible in the store as soon as possible. Otherwise, what you can do is put a no sooner than release date. And in this case, you just set, for example, what we had several customers do is choose 25 or 26th of October as a release date so that their application would not be visible before that. Now, this is a no sooner than. Make sure that your application gets enough time to be verified because it doesn't guarantee that it will actually be released on that date. If you don't pass or if there's a big queue, then it might even be a bit later. But it allows you to not have your application visible before that date in any case. However, do note, if you put this in a future date and say you want to publish it in a month and it's already going through through certification and you have to wait 3 weeks because it's already certified but just waiting there in the queue to be actually visible on date X. If you do need to submit an update in between and it hasn't been published before, you have to restart your certification process. So do take into account this might change and this might actually have an impact in your certification because once the application is in certification and not visible in the store, you have to cancel to do any changes to that certification process. So once it is published, then you can just enter a new release, change anything you want, and wait for the new certification. And this screen shows you, again, some very interesting information about your requirements that you need to implement to have the correct age rating and privacy requirements. And it's a good table that shows you what do you need as a privacy policy in the store portal? Do you need a privacy policy in the settings pane, in the charm? And can your age rating actually be lower than 12 plus? So it's really clear that anything related to SMS and text messages, accessing your location, accessing microphone, accessing webcam, accessing documents library, all of that requires you to have those privacy settings and your application cannot be for persons younger than 12. Now, do note that some of the options are possible. For example, you can have a sign-in, and you're not even required to have a settings privacy element, but it's highly recommended. That's why I always say add a privacy statement in any case, and then check for the requirements around the age. If you're doing anything about logins and transmitting information, transmitting images, you cannot have age less than 12 plus. So make sure you check these and adapt your application and the requirements of your application accordingly. For example, for children, if you have the possibility to have sort of a login or an account. If that person doesn't need to use a real name, then it's allowed. They don't need to use email, then it's allowed. Otherwise, you cannot even do it because it's not allowed for children. So really quick tips, don't forget to check these things. If you're filling in the details in store portal, check that you add the privacy URL, in that field, in the description, in all the languages. Did you add it in the correct language, in the correct link? Is the site with the link actually online? Can you go on it? Does it work? Does it work outside of your country? Think about the fact that testers will be in the US, will actually be US-based for the most part, so can they access it? Is it actually working? Check your age rating. For the most apps, 12 plus is possible. If you're using internet, 12 plus is needed. If you're just doing some basic gaming or something, you might go lower than that. So do check the requirements there. Support contact is something that is in the store description page. It's required to have a URL or email address, so have a contact form filled in that corresponds to your app. Make sure you also fill it in, because we have seen, it's not sure if the field was filled in incorrectly or if it's not a required field, but we have seen cases in which it was actually not certified because of a missing support contact. I think the link in the case, in our case, was not working. So make sure you check that. Also, if you're using external services, for example, a video stream, is your stream actually workable, usable outside of your country? Do add some tester notes if you need to configure something specific for that. And speaking about tester notes, in the last step of your certification submission, you have tester notes itself. So tester notes is really a field that you can fill in with some details. For example, if you need to log in, make sure you provide username and login. Even if you provide username and login here, you also need to foresee how people that are not testers will be able to access your app. Is it clearly enough? Is it explained how to create an account? All those types of things will be checked by testers. Do testers need to configure something specific on the computer? Normally, it's going to fail your app as well. Use some mock information if you need to do a tester that is not really easy to do for example, some specific login information that you might need through Facebook. Well, make sure you create some test mock data that changes the way your app behaves, or that can give enough details for testers to go through it, because they do content compliance and they really need to be able to test. Also, make sure that you add in the details for the testers that you add any specific details, things they need to go through, but make it as short as possible. If you have to provide 10 steps to test your app, then probably your app is not usable by end users either. So do a good balance there. Then just some quick tips. Looking at everything that we saw here, make sure you add tester notes, especially if you're doing a new release or if you have been rejected, you failed certification and you do a new submit. Make sure you add the details. What did you change? Did you correct something? Did you implement, for example, if you have failed because of privacy policy missing? Well, add just a quick note in the tester notes saying, well, we added privacy policy and it's linking to an external URL, and then they know what you changed and they just go through it quicker. The region and the language, double check your languages. Does it really appear in the system as are they recognized as the correct languages? Are you submitting to enough countries? Also, it's really an opportunity there, so make sure you take advantage of that. What you can also do is a very good tip we learned along the way, is if you submit your application and you expect possible failure because of something, request in the tester notes that they provide you the screenshots of the testing failure. Sometimes they are able to do a screenshot and provide you the screenshot in the details, in the failure email and the failure information. So request that in your tester notes. Otherwise, you will have to go through escalation and try to get those, which is really difficult. Something in general that you should take into account, if you need login info or if you need a specific flow to actually use the application, it's a bit of a joke maybe, but that's how testers will work. One of the escalations we did, the person helping asked us the following question. So if your application is so complicated to test, how is the end user, and think in forms of a 70-year-old grandmother, how is she going to use her application? Because applications are made for consumers in general. Think about people not computer experts. Will they be able to use your application? If it's really too complicated, maybe you need to simplify. So that might be a good one. Just go through your application, let someone not knowing your application test it. Would that person be able to use it and not feel completely lost? If you cannot log in easily, then they will fail your application. Specifically regarding login is really important. If you have to have an account, do you also have an option without an account? Do you have an option to link to an account creation page and stuff like that? So with these, we hope we've given you a good overview of the tips and of the learnings we had. Now, you have some support options. First of all, make sure you read Stored App Certification Requirements. We also have a document on MSDN that's being updated very, very often, which is resolving certification errors. Make sure you go through those if you have the first error. And then, if you really don't see what is wrong and are not going through certification as expected and you need to escalate, there is a support team that you can access through chat, through email, and through phone. And you can find the details in the store support URL on the screen. So do escalate and explain clearly, have the login information at hand to escalate.